And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What?
I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in. Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We give the people
What a great game between LeBron and Zion last night. Zion had 35 points, but it was LeBron's 34-point triple-double that carried them past the Pelicans on the road. Jalen, I feel like LeBron sends a message to Zion when they play together. Do you think that's fair to say?
I believe that a couple of lazy things that have happened via multimedia and fans that I'm just going to refute and try not to feed into.
Okay.
First thing, LeBron brings it against everybody. If Giannis wasn't in the league, he'd be the unanimous MVP. They're the number one seed. He leads the entire NBA in assists, not just when they play against Luka, Trae Young, and Zion Williamson. He's averaging 25 points against everyone. Okay? Anthony Davis wasn't present. Caruso wasn't present. And they just lost to Memphis the night before. So it was a game that they needed. That's first and foremost. Second, while these guys are physical anomalies as it relates to their body type and their athleticism and their personalities and their maturity for being such young players, I think a comparison for Zion should be more about guys that play up front. Yeah. LeBron James is a guy that has perimeter skills. He's amongst the top of all time in assists as well. Their games are so vastly different. Yeah, because they're both 6'8", there are going to be times where they're standing in front of each other on a basketball court. I almost like a comparison of Zion to a guy like Anthony Davis. And I'm not talking about their skill and their body type. I mean, as a guy that went number one overall, played 1 year in college at a big-time school. One went to Duke and played for Coach K. The other one went to Kentucky, played for Coach Cal. The trade doesn't happen if New Orleans doesn't get Zion in the deal. They trade each other. Anthony gets what he wants. He goes to Los Angeles. Zion now becomes the face of the franchise to AD's old squad. And the first couple of times they played, no Zion, AD dominated. Zion plays, then LeBron decides to dominate. So I like to parallel Zion to other guys. To me, it's so lazy to be like, oh, LeBron was the face of the franchise for 17 years of the league. By the way, not all 17, everybody. And now Zion is the face of the league. How can he be the face of the league when Giannis is about to be back-to-back MVP? This is Giannis' leagues going forward, not Zion's just yet. But I love the young fella, and he's putting in work like we have never seen from a teenager.
One thing that we've discussed for years is LeBron James and the relationships that he has with other players in the league. Back in your day, there was much more competitive. Guys weren't really friends with players on other teams. Now that has all changed. LeBron James addressed this after the game. Let's check in on LeBron in his do-rag.
It's my obligation, it's my job to continue to pass on the game to the guys that's coming in after me. That's just my responsibility. No one told me to do that. I just feel like it's just my responsibility to leave the game in a better place than when I had it. And when you see the class of guys that's in our league right now, the league is in a very good place. You know, anybody that says that, you know, LeBron, why would he do that while he's playing? It's a show and sign of weakness. You know, he's buddy-buddy with the guys that he's going against. Tell me to kiss my ass. With a smile, too.
Jalen, what do you think?
In today's sports landscape, one of the many things I love about LeBron James is that he's a boss of all bosses. I get a chance to see him be a husband and a dad, a philanthropist, a leader, a champion, somebody that is socially and politically conscious, and somebody that always seems to do and say the right thing. And I understand why, being the face of the franchise, he would take it some type of way because usually the best player dictates the mood of the league. And when I came into the league, the best player was Hakeem Olajuwon. He wasn't fraternizing with everybody. They were winning back-to-back championships. He didn't take it easy on Shaq and was like, oh, I'm about to teach him the game. He's like, I'm going to really teach him the game. And I'm going to sweep him out of the playoffs. That's what I'm going to do. And also, when MJ returned, the exact same thing. Graduate Tim Duncan and Kobe and all of those great players. It didn't start to change when LeBron became the best player. Just think about LeBron's era. The other Hall of Famers in his era, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, those are his best friends. So the guys that, the teams that he had to dismantle as they got old, the Pistons with Chauncey that won the championship in 2004, the Celtics with the Big Three, those teams got older and he dismantled them. The Bulls with Derrick Rose never got there as an MVP because they had injuries with Joakim Noah and it never matured with Butler. So he dismantled the older Celtics and the Pistons. One can say he disabled the other guys because instead of making them rivals, they became teammates. And that's what changed the league. This is what we celebrate LeBron for. We celebrate him for being the catalyst saying, okay, I can be the MVP, but I'm going to leave Cleveland because I want to go win championships and go to Miami. That laid the foundation for Kevin Durant to do it, for Anthony Davis to do it, for Paul George to do it, for Kawhi Leonard to do it. So, yes, you're going to be the face of best players changing teams and joining up, not necessarily playing against one another. And lastly, when I say he's a boss, yes, he's going to Virginia to watch Duke play because he's a fan of the college game. But let's not act like there isn't some business interest directly or indirectly affiliated with LeBron James if he becomes somebody that can recruit Zion, that can recruit Ja Morant. Like, these are the type of things that are happening within the game. Also, he and Clutch Sports didn't invent this. They're trying to master this. And I'm not mad at that either, because Rich Paul is my brother and I got love for LeBron.
Jalen, LeBron James is celebrated not just because of all the things that you spoke about, but also for his basketball IQ. He's one of the highest IQ basketball players I've ever seen play the game. But I want to show you this play at the end of the game last night in New Orleans. Just explain what happened there. Like, what is that?
So I was thinking a couple of times when I was watching this game, like, wait a minute. If I was a gambler, I'm like, is he point shaving? Is he trying to keep the game close? Is he trying to do the rope-a-dope at New Orleans to see if Zion could do some heroics so that LeBron can continue to be outstanding on the road? That was one of the decisions you never see an all-time great make. But we've seen LeBron travel in the backcourt a couple of times.
Yeah,
and the
he's done this kind of thing.
But they call
it this. He's done these kind of brain farty things before. So the Clippers played against the Sixers. The Sixers were without Embiid and Simmons, and the Clippers handled their business. In the starters, they had PG and Kawhi, and then as they do, that second unit, they had big games from Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. Jalen, the Clippers look good. The Clippers look really good. What do you think about their performance last night?
Clippers most complete and talented team in basketball. Anytime you got two guys in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George that I could basically rely on to get me 25 to 30, and I got two guys coming in off the bench in Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell that's going to flirt with 20, that's depth like the league hasn't seen. And then you get a chance to add Morris, and Zubac is going to rim protect when he's in the game. And Shamet gets overlooked, and he's a shooter and a young guard that Philly actually could have used when you watch both of those teams still compete against one another.
Yep.
And so now that this team has gotten healthy, they're going to be scary for the rest of the league.
They certainly are, and they are creeping up on the number two seed along with the Nuggets. The Nuggets had a game last night and they beat the Raptors. That was a big game from the Stretch Mark 5, who had another triple-double with 18 rebounds. Big shout to the Stretch Mark 5. So Jalen, we have the Nuggets and the Clippers now kind of going neck and neck for that number two seed. Who do you think will end up with the number two seed in the Western Conference?
with all things equal, I have to say the Clippers. Any injuries happen, the Nuggets, because the Nuggets aren't going to load manage their best players. Mm. So that's, in theory, what I'm going to look to see. There will be games that Kawhi and Paul George miss going down the stretch. And as a matter of fact, I just want to put this on wax as I watch the schedule.
What's up?
I noticed that the Sixers played the Clippers yesterday, and they played the Lakers on Tuesday. I also noticed that Anthony Davis and Caruso didn't play at New Orleans, which makes me give a hypothesis, and I would love to be wrong. Okay. Don't be surprised if LeBron James misses the game at home against the Sixers so that he could gear up for the bigger game later in the week against the Bucks. Like, so these are the type of things as a veteran that's played the game. I'm not necessarily happy, Jacoby, when I can look at the schedule and almost pick when the top players aren't going to play.
That's a good point.
And so it was great to see Shake Milton play the way he did for Philly. We know that they're going to need Embiid and Simmons to achieve their goals. They're going to need Harris and Horford to play a lot better. So I'm watching later in the week because the Lakers got a big game coming up, and I'm also watching load management for the Clippers to see if they can hold out the Denver Nuggets and or the Houston Rockets for that number two spot. Because if the Clippers slip and fall to number four, the Lakers and the Clippers, they'll be playing in the second round, not in the conference finals.
Jalen Rose. Luka Doncic was out, but Kristaps Porzingis is back. If you haven't been paying attention, the unicorn has been looking unicorn-y lately. He had 38 points, and the Mavs got the win. What do you think about KP's big performance without Luka?
Get well soon, namesake Jalen Brunson. Shout to Seth Curry, who has the highest three-point percentage of any player to play NBA basketball. Tim Hardaway's given them quality minutes. Rick Carlisle's done a terrific job of navigating the roster regardless of injury, and now you can turn it over to your best two players. And when Luka Doncic isn't out there, who's going to be an all-NBA performer, who's taken the league by storm and catapulted himself as a top 10 player, it continued to build the confidence of Kristaps Porzingis as they feature him. And you see him putting up big-time numbers. And I told you coming into this season, it's only going to be four or five players to get me 20, 10, and two blocks. And I named him, and people thought I was tripping, because he blocks shots too.
He does.
And we're going to show him shooting threes, and we're going to show him grabbing board, but he protects that rim. That's one of my favorite things about them. And he had five swats yesterday against the Timberwolves. So the Mavs clearly have a special dynamic duo going forward. They're also sneaky becoming a team that once the playoffs come and it's half-court basketball, mm-hmm. they got two guys that can kind of get you buckets and can kind of create some action that is in unison with one another. Their best players complement each other unlike the Sixers. So the Mavs are building something special, and top players should want to go play with them via free agency as the years progress.
They really should. When you look at the West, especially the West, you look at the standings, there's going to be some good first-round matchups. Now, I'm not going to say the Mavs are – I'm not going to predict that they're going to upset whoever they play, but there's going to be some good first-round matchups. It's going to be a very interesting playoff, especially in the West. We had a playoff-like atmosphere in Boston on Saturday night. It was hype in TD Garden, Jalen Rose. I was there with Hoopstream. Shout out to them. And Russell Westbrook continued his tear through the league. He had 41 points in the overtime win for the Rockets. The Rockets have really put it together ever since they traded Clint Capella. Could they climb up the standings in the Western Conference?
I think they can. Don't be surprised if they do. And the guy you see there with the basketball, Russell Westbrook, Brody, he's been a terror since the public school era. And they freed up the paint for driving lanes. And I know when I say all of these things, sometimes it sounds like math or geometry, and people are like, what do you mean? You take Clint Capella off the baseline, you open up the floor with another shooter, whether it's House or Gordon or McLemore or PJ Tucker or whoever it is. What the Houston Rockets have exposed is something that makes me sad. It really makes me sad. The Golden State Warriors, exposed this too with Draymond Green at the 5 at 6'7". You know what it exposes? And it hurts me to say this. It really does. How big men don't have the skill and the will to punish small guys.
Mm.
That's really all this is. It's percentage basketball. It's percentage basketball. It's only a couple of bigs in today's game that's going to punish a 6'7 guy, a 6'6 guy so much that you got to play a lineup that features somebody over 6'9, which the Celtics and the Rockets did not do.
No.
That was the first game in ages that a guy over 6'9 didn't play. So I'm looking at you, Zion, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Karl Anthony Towns when he's healthy. Those are like the only guys, and the Joker, but he's a liability defensively.
Yep.
Those are not, and the Greek Freak. And the Greek Freak. Those are like the only guys that when they have like a 6'7 guy on them, it's one or two dribbles, punish. One or two dribbles, punish. So now, since the big guys can't do that, I'm watching the Raptors play Pascal Siakam at the five in random lineups. Teams are just doing it. It's an ode to the big guy. Step your game up, big fellas. Punish these small lineups. Therefore, you play percentage basketball, and we get some normalcy back in the league.
Jalen, sometimes there's video that needs to be broken down in detail, so you and I need to go to the table. Trae Young is just a dynamo with the basketball, and he can shoot, he can pass, he can dribble, he can do it all, and just check out this clip of what he does with Trevor Ariza, and Trevor Ariza's response goes between the legs, Trevor Ariza not having it. Jalen Rose, do you think he handled this appropriately?
I think he handled it perfect, and this is another example of playing more perimeter and not bigger, and the Hawks, you noticed, when they did a couple of deals, they got Deadman and they got Capella and they returned Collins to try to put some size around Trae Young. In that case, when he going against a vet like Trevor Young and he tries to nutmeg him and tries to make him look crazy, I would like to see one of the people on Trae Young's team to actually come have his back. Where was his Davis brothers? Where was his Charles Oakley? Yeah. I'm confused. Rest in peace, Anthony Mason. That's what I mean. That's a perfect example. Is Trae Young really good at basketball, Jacoby?
Yes.
Let me just say, is Trae Young really good at basketball?
Yes, he's excellent at basketball.
Was he an all-star this year? Is he pulling up from 30? Is he averaging almost 30? Is he getting 10 dimes? When somebody elbows my slight of Bill point guard on our home floor, can somebody come to his defense?
It's a good point, Mr. Rose.
The game has just changed so much.
Sometimes you sound like a complaining old veteran, old guy, get off my line guy, but sometimes you're actually right when you do it.
Got to give the people, give people what they want.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage for some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven. Jalen Rose, it is official. You were there for Fury Wilder 2, and it was not close. It was not a close fight. But Wilder has exercised the rematch clause in the contract. They're reporting that it will happen in July. It will be the third fight. Jalen, how can Deontay Wilder make this one more competitive?
You know Deontay's my man, 50 grand. Both of those guys have been on the show. And you know how much I love and appreciate the sweet science. The atmosphere for that fight was electric.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that I'm so very excited that they're going to do a trilogy for that reason. However, it's going to take me another couple of weeks to really digest what Deontay can change in order to make it a different outcome. As I was watching up close and personal, and I know he came out in the ladder and talked about how his entry garb was so very heavy via the Darth Vader look, and it took a toll on his legs. And his legs were spaghetti at the beginning of the fight. But I think it had a lot more to do with Tyson Fury's knuckles than anything else. Mm-hmm. And his size and his girth and how he was just leaning on him like a punching bag that you couldn't move. And a couple of things is going to have to happen for Deontay. And put some respect on Mark Breland's name, because if he doesn't stop the fight when he did, there is no third fight. Especially if not in July or potentially August or September. There is no third fight, because he would need time to heal from those wounds. For anybody that's been following this sport would know that that would have been a Mike Tyson, Trevor Burbeck type get up, fall down type of knockout. He got knocked down a couple of times. Yep. He fell down a couple of other times. His balance and his equilibrium were off. His ear was bleeding. And so I would implore him to take back down his weight. He was the heaviest that he'd been. Also, he got to move those feet, got to move those head, and he got to move his head, and he got to box and jab a little more. You can't stand there and wait for the George Foreman, Michael Moore 1-2 against this big guy. He, who once was 400 pounds, so he's used to carrying that 273. I thought it would be an issue. I picked Deontay to win. I was dead wrong. So now as I see that there's going to be a trilogy, there's got to be a lot of change if this is going to be a competitive fight.
I definitely agree. I am concerned that this one might go the same way the second one went, because after the first fight is one of the most exciting fights I've seen in a long time. And it was truly, truly a draw. It was an even fight, but that last fight was one-sided from start to finish. But I will pay whatever they want me to.
I got a question
to watch the
for
trilogy.
You. I got a question
what's that?
For you.
What's
I got
that?
A question
you know, I don't
for
like
you.
Questions.
So, and this is the danger of the sport that these men chose to do for a living. And that's why I always respect things that I'm fearful of trying to do, like drive a car 200 miles an hour or UFC, because those things can be fatal. How do you feel as somebody that covers this for a living? Because I remember the Ray Mancini Dooku Kim fight when Dooku Kim tragically got killed. How do you feel when you hear Deontay say he would rather go out on his shield then for Breland to do what he did, which all of us saw was the right thing in stopping the fight?
I feel that I understand what he says. I understand that's his approach, but it's not his decision to make. That's why you have a referee there that stops the fight. That's why you have a corner that can throw in the towel. So it doesn't bother me that he says that, and he might really feel that way, but there are checks and balances besides his will that, in the event of something going that way, will end the fight before that happens. Jalen, I have a Tom Brady update. Huge Tom Brady news. You'll never believe this. He watched a college basketball game with New England Patriot Julian Edelman. And while they were on the camera, Julian Edelman says, he's coming back. He's coming back. And Brady just awkwardly smiles. Jalen, two questions. Number one, is Tom Brady wearing makeup? Number two, does this definitely mean that he will be back with the Patriots?
It looks like he is wearing makeup.
It did, right?
Julian Edelman is right, and I'm glad you pointed that out. That's hilarious. He is coming back. He just don't know if it's going to be with the Patriots or not. He'll be in the NFL next year.
I guess
and
that's
so
a good point.
A couple of labor things that, to me, are kind of getting in the way also, which don't help the Patriots and Tom Brady timing-wise. Number one, the deal hasn't been finalized. Two, nope. I'd be interested to see if Tom votes yes or no to the deal. And three, if he doesn't commit, it's hard for them to add other people to support him having weapons to make it attractive for him to come back. So it's going to be interesting to see. Again, I love Tom Brady, as you know, fellow Wolverine. And as long as he can play and keep getting them checks and be productive, I root for that to happen. I just know if he leaves the Patriots, it's going to be unique to see him playing football when it isn't championship or bust.
Jalen, I have news about the Lions. Now, I know you want the Lions to draft Tua, and there are some people that think that if they do draft Tua, they could potentially trade Matt Stafford. Well, Kelly Stafford's Matt Wife went on social media and quoted bad boy P. Diddy with the "we ain't going nowhere." Jalen, do you think the Lions should trade Matt Stafford if they draft Tua?
So I'm really intimately close to this stuff, and I want to make sure I send a shout to the Stafford family and Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
She's dealt with some health issues recently, and it was great to see how she's responded, and I want to continue to wish her best of health. And shout to Matthew Stafford for being there for his better half and being a support group that goes bigger and badder and way beyond football. That's been my quarterback on my TO. That's been my quarterback. And so I got love for him. And by the way, he's still top 10. Like, don't get it twisted. Matthew Stafford healthy is top 10. He's top 10. But you know what else? So is his salary. And I think it's higher than that. So what I think will happen or should happen is allow him to come back healthy. He's been durable for the team other than last year. Allow him to play another year, show he's healthy, and do work. Allow Tua to get nurtured that year, a la Patrick Mahomes, a la Aaron Rodgers. And then you free Matthew Stafford and send him to a contender. And then you turn the keys over to Tua. That's what I would do if I was running things.
I think that's very fair. Jalen, Drake wore a Lamar Jackson jersey in his new video. Drake, fairly or unfairly, has been associated with a curse. Should Lamar Jackson be worried about the Drake curse because Drake wore his jersey?
Nah, not at all. Not what I'm seeing from that guy. He playing four downs, dog. He playing four downs. Usually it's fourth and three. You punting 95% of the time. Not with Lamar. We going four.
No, and also, let me tell you something. If the curse was coming at Lamar Jackson, he just give him like a little shimmy shake, and the curse couldn't even touch him. You can't touch Lamar Jackson if you don't want you to. If you can't touch Lamar Jackson if he doesn't want you to. So if the curse comes at him, he's just going to just give a little two-step and get away.
This is smart for Drake. This is how you automatically break the curse. That was actually a boss move, now that I think about it.
I like it. It's time for some very important news that matters. There are certain things about Jalen Rose's personality that surprise me, and they'll probably surprise you too. And one of those things, there's millions, but one of those things is Jalen loves Judge Judy. I don't know why. I don't know where he finds the time to watch it, but Jalen Rose loves Judge Judy. Judge Judy is ending after 25 seasons, Jalen. Now, there are reports that she might be working on a new program that would be very similar. But, Jalen, what about Judge Judy do you love so much?
So, I remember when these shows started to get instituted, and I'm probably going to misrepresent some of the names, but I remember Judge Wapner and Bull back in the day.
The People's Court.
Judge Mathis. No doubt about it. My guy Judge Mathis representing the D, filming out in Chicago, and Judge Judy. So, if you think about my day over the last 25 years, especially when I was playing ball, Jacoby, you play and practice, you practice early in the day and you play at night. So during the day, for those that don't know, it wasn't any YouTube. Wasn't any Netflix, wasn't any Hulu,
no DVR,
wasn't any IG,
nothing on demand.
Wasn't even Twitter. Like, that was one of the things that was constantly on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Springer helped catapult what we now see as a lot of ratchet TV happening on a currently basis. And for those that don't know the finance to come with this, Judge Judy makes a whopping $40 million a year.
Yeah.
Just think about that. $40
million Tony Romo's salary would
year.
Be a pay cut for Judge Judy. She wouldn't take Tony Romo's salary.
But look, it took her 25 years to get there. Tony Romo get a max salary in 2 or 3 years. Only in America.
You could be headed to the game or going on an epic road trip. No matter where your travels take you, Marathon can help you get there with top quality gas. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives that keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and much more. This is definitely a win-win deal, and it's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio. So join the Marathon team and start saving today. This offer is valid only at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever your journey goes, it pays to start at Marathon. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. My brother Jalen Rose and I discuss lots of things all day long, and a lot of times he complains about what we discuss on this program. So we built him as a segment where he decides whether or not we talk about a topic. It is called Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss it, you say hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man keep it moving. Are you ready, Jalen Rose?
Let's get it.
The Michigan Wolverines lost another basketball game. Keep it moving.
The brakes.
Jalen, they lost to Ohio State. It seems like every time they get ranked, they get unranked. Jalen, how concerned are you about your Wolverines?
I'm not concerned, and here's why. For those that intimately follow collegiate basketball, the Big Ten is the best and the deepest conference in the country. When you're watching Selection Sunday, and I know it's up to 68 teams, in a minute it's going to be 168 teams to get in the NCAA tournament, 10 of them is going to be in front of the Big Ten. That's going to be the highest amongst conferences around the country. And if you see the Ohio State starting five, they're stout. They score 77. It was 73 of the 77 points. Washington Jr. was balling. Like, I watched the game, and I want to be like such a homer and say all of the things that we didn't do and why we didn't win. And then the player in me comes out like, we got beat. That's what happened to Wisconsin. Like, we got beat. And these are the type of things that a team learns from. And hopefully we continue to get that experience. Wagner has been terrific. Simpson has been great all year. Need more out of Livers. Need more out of Teske. I just think that as the season progresses and we get towards the Big Ten tournament, this team is going to be playing its best basketball. And I'm still excited about the rest of the season.
It has been a very successful first year for head coach and your former teammate, Juwan Howard. But watch what your boy did during this one. Check out your boy. Backwards from half court, one-handed. Jalen, where do you do that?
And he be making those, dog.
I know.
That's not the first time this year he done made them. It's crazy what you learn after you've been in the basketball gym for so many years. Of all things, a technician, power forward and center, the guy that played at the high post and threw lobs and turnaround jumpers over both shoulders and won championships with the Miami Heat. Of all of the things that he picked up, he might as well be a halftime act. He legitimately makes those.
You could leave me in a gym with a basketball.
Shot like that.
You could leave me in a gym with a basketball for an hour and a half, and I would not make a single one of those. Not a single one of those. Next, we have a Nas Carter update. Keep it moving and hit the brakes.
The brakes.
Nas Carter, our favorite basketball player in men's basketball, just so happens to be the nephew of Sean Carter, better known as Jay-Z. Well, he had 14 points and 5 rebounds off the bench, but they did lose to Washington State. They have the worst record in the Pac-12. Jalen, if they were better, would Jay-Z come to a game?
I think he's going to come to a game anyway, except probably doesn't want to be a sideshow or distraction. And he want to let him live and create his own legacy and get his own name and do his own work and that type of stuff. And then show up and come and represent. But if you saying that they have the worst record, I have some news that I would like to spread to their coaching staff. Maybe he should be starting.
Yeah, maybe put him in the game. 14
out there. How about that? How about that?
Yeah, well,
can we get him in the
lineup? That was the first time he came off the bench, but he performed, and maybe he'll get back in the starting lineup. Jalen, Sabrina Ionescu update.
Hit the brakes.
Our favorite player in college basketball, Sabrina, had 13 points, 4 rebounds, 11 assists in their win over Washington. Are they going to win the championship?
Don't you wish your arms looked like that, Jacoby? She's strong. She's smart. She can shoot the three. Great court sense. And I love their floor. That floor looks awesome. She putting up numbers that nobody has put up in the men's or the women's game. I'm looking forward to watching them play in the NCAA tournament.
Me too. I'm picking them to win it all this season because Sabrina is my favorite player. AJ Green was franchise tagged, keep it moving, or hit the brakes.
Like you said, the great American philosopher David Jacoby, there isn't enough Bengal slander that happens. Keep it moving.
Okay. Keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Giannis had a big game. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
You know what? This is kind of becoming something of a consistent nature as he's the reigning MVP. I want to hit the brakes because I want to make sure that we don't take him for granted.
41 points, 20 rebounds after being criticized by James Harden for just running and dunking. Jalen, what do you think about Giannis's 41 and 20?
Well, I think I want to quote the great American philosopher one more time. I'm using that. I love that so much. I think it was Cat Williams. He's like, players mess up. And I did that on Countdown recently. You know, you're doing television, and there's a graphic about how Giannis would be at certain heights. And one height was 6'3". And I was like, if he was 6'3", he'd be Russell Westbrook, attacking the basket, dunking on people, points in the paint, all of that. And then the second one, you know, it didn't work out the way it needed to work out production-wise. It ended up being 6'6 instead of 6'7". It ended up being Michael Jordan instead of Scottie Pippen. I don't believe that. If he was 6'6", he'd be Michael Jordan. But I do believe if he was 6'7", he could be Scottie Pippen. So for the Greek Freak to get his first 40 and 20 game has been amazing for his to watch his game grow. And looks like he's on point to win back-to-back MVPs.
We'll be discussing that later. And someone who will be in the discussion is LeBron James, who had a flopportunity this weekend. Keep it moving. Hit the brakes.
The brakes.
Dylan Brooks of the Grizzlies was reaching in on LeBron James and just maybe hit his beard a little bit. And then LeBron really made the most of the flopportunity. What do you think about LeBron's flop?
So here's what I think about LeBron's flop. By the way, he does a terrific job of being an ambassador around the league. Having all of the fellas over to the mansion, getting them a chance to spend time with Auntie Savannah and play basketball with Bronny. And like LeBron is LeBron understands how to massage the situation. He faked the flopportunity and he had Dylan Brooks standing over him like he was Tyson Fury hitting Wilder. Like, dog, you didn't even hit him. Right? You don't have to apologize. It's okay.
He got hit by a Mike Tyson uppercut. God, I love LeBron so much. Jalen, you have to see what Tim Tebow did in spring training.
Hit the brakes.
Check out Tim Tebow trying to catch a routine fly ball in left field. That's Tim for the Mets in left field. Boom, down goes Tim Tebow. This would have ended the game. Jalen, what do you think about Tim Tebow getting tripped up?
I like that he's still in shape, playing the game, baseball, that he loves. His football career ended unceremoniously and very early. And you can criticize why the Mets are doing it. Is it for hype? Is it for ticket sales? Is it for PR? Whatever. I still appreciate that he continues to trot himself out there day after day and playing for a spring training team, knowing that it's a small chance that he will ever make it to the big leagues.
Jalen, I have a video that I want you to see. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Mike Trout is an underappreciated baseball player. He smashes baseballs, but look at him at Topgolf. Bang! Look at that, Jalen. I think that thing hit the casino in the background. First of all, one thing about this. I've never been to Topgolf. Why is there not a Topgolf in New York City? And can we go to Topgolf?
Well, I'll tell you the one number one reason it might not be one because of the weather. It looks like he's hitting that out into the atmosphere. That probably doesn't hold up well on the East Coast and the Midwest in the middle of January or February. But with that being said, he did crush it. Now, if only if he would have been a member of the Houston Astros. Imagine how many home runs he could have possibly hit in 2017.
There's nothing like a live experience with your family to make memories. We went to Jurassic World live with my kids And my wife and Margot and Chloe and Quincy just sat there wide-eyed looking at the dinosaurs and the motorbikes and the fire explosions and just looking at my children enjoy themselves like that and having this experience and talking about it on the way home and just how happy they were. It's irreplaceable. The problem is when you want to go to a live event, you need tickets. And you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose? Their sites are always annoying. They don't have the events you want. It's like they don't care about the customer experience on their website. The real question is, how easy could it be if those ticketing sites actually cared? Well, with millions of live event tickets and price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there is a better way. You can search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decided to stand out from the rest of the crowd. This is why SeatGeek is better than the rest. A quick look at the App Store shows over 50,000 five-star reviews for SeatGeek. That's customer satisfaction. And the process is better. It pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web, and then it rates each deal on a scale from 1 to 10. And they have a super easy-to-use interactive map so you can tell where you're sitting and whether or not that is a good deal. SeatGeek breaks down the details. The green dots are good deals. The red dots are overpriced. They put it all out there for you to make your own decision. They make it easy to get a great deal. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it is by far the fastest and easiest way to find tickets for anything. In fact, I just used the app to buy tickets to Jurassic World. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use this promo code. So download the SeatGeek app today. Use the promo code Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-Y, and you get $10 off your very first purchase. That's promo code Jacoby on the SeatGeek app for $10 off your first purchase.
Jalen Rose, me and you are not on the same page about this next topic, but me and Alvin Gentry are. Let's listen to the Pelicans head coach.
I'm just amazed that they talk about anybody other than him for MVP. You know, that's what he does. Every team that he's been to, every team that he's gone, have a chance to win the championship. So, you know, to me, I mean, I'm not sure what the definition of MVP is, but he makes everybody on his team better, and it makes it difficult for everybody playing.
Jalen, LeBron James is my MVP of this season in the NBA, and you feel differently. Why?
Why do people continue to act like LeBron isn't getting the love that he deserves?
He's not.
He's on the Mount Rushmore of basketball. He's going to be all NBA first team. His team is a contender in the West, and they didn't make the playoffs last year. They added Anthony Davis, one of the top 10 players in the game. They wouldn't add it whoever they felt like was going to help put them in position to be great, to go with the king. He's leading the league in assists. Mm-hmm. He's shooting well from three. He's attempting more three-point shots per average than he ever has.
Great
He's
points,
having an
Jalen.
Outstanding season. Except his team doesn't have the best record. And there's another guy that's averaging more points, rebounds, and having more 30, 15, and 5 games than him. That just happens to be the Greek Freak. That's all. Mm-mm. He's going to finish second, in my opinion.
It's not just about stats. It's not just about stats. LeBron James does everything for this Lakers team. You watch the games. He does everything for this team. He does everything for this team, and they've got the best record in the Western Conference, where it's much harder to have a good record. LeBron James is underappreciated, and in my mind, is a hands down the MVP this season.
Okay.
And I'm gonna have them take your vote away. I'm gonna have them take your vote away.
So now we gotta split hairs about this. And by the way, I hear so many people talking about this topic, and I'm so very glad they're not voters, because it makes sense the reason why they didn't get a ballot. Here's the thing I want to make sure I say to you. LeBron James has been outstanding this year, Jacoby. There's no taking anything away from that. But when you say he does everything for his team, does he lead his team in scoring?
Jalen?
Does he lead his team in blocks?
Jalen, we'll continue to have
Giannis
this debate later.
Does.
But right now, I think it's very important that we recognize someone who's very important to me, and that is Maura Mant, who we lost over the weekend. She is the producer of the ESPYs and so much more than that. She's a close person to me, and she's a mentor, and I would not be here without her. We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV.
So you don't even have a brush, Jalen? You're just going to pat your hair down with your hands like that? You don't even have a brush?
Well, no. You said the key. I don't have a brush. That's
what's
exactly
going on,
what
Jay?
The problem is.
Now you're not even... I mean, it's one thing... It's one thing not to get a fresh cut for J&J. You know, but now you're just throwing on whatever outfit, not even having a brush. I mean, I know I'm the side piece, but this is just disrespectful at this point.
Well, if you will take a different snapshot of it, for all of the people that support our program for 9 years, we appreciate the love. Make sure you check us out daily. Make sure you call and leave voicemails, 985-80-JALEN. Jacoby, you had a 6-day work week last week juggling 3 shows. Jalen and Jacoby, High Noon, and then also you were in Boston doing hoop streams. You had an amazing work week. If this will make you feel any better, what you did this week is what I do every week.
Okay.
And there are times I have to pick and choose when I could get a cut. Right now, I'm working with 6 properties at the network. I'm working with Countdown, The Jump, Hoop Streams, Get Up, Jalen and Jacoby TV, and Podcast. So on Friday night, I didn't get off till 2 a.m. Last night, we had a doubleheader. I had 2 shows. And then we had Zion and LeBron last night. I know you was watching up past your curfew, found a way to put the kids to bed, went upstairs in your little man cave and watched the games until like 11 o'clock. Well, I didn't get home till 1 a.m., so I didn't have a chance to get a cut. And I was scrambling this morning. We talked about the program. We talked about the pod. So I don't have a brush. I got my fresh glasses, but I don't have a brush, you know? What do you want from me?
Well, you're always giving the people what they want, Jalen Rose. And the people appreciate you, you know? People appreciate you.
Disney, that's mutual.
Disney Corporation
that's
needs
mutual.
You.
That's mutual.
You know what I mean? Disney Corporation needs you.
We go hard. We go
got
hard.
To.
I was joking with Stephen A at the water cooler the other day, Thursday, at South Seaport, standing next to my brother, Stephen A. Smith, who killing it in the game, who is a seasoned, savvy veteran. And I've seen him leave the network and come back. I was on his show, quite frankly. And Mr. Smith had the nerve to stand next to me, David Jacoby, on a Thursday and tell me how late he was out working on Wednesday. I said, you did 5 Wednesdays and you only do the pre-show. You don't do halftime or post-game. You don't got sauce since you lost your radio show. I'm like, you get off the 12 every day now. Don't try to run that, oh, you on the grind mission with me. You winning, dog. I am not mad at you at all. So it's up to Jalen and Jacoby to continue to bring the blue collar effort to the network.
Got to. Got to get the people what they want. I love doing this program, Jalen. I love doing this program. For real, for real.
This ain't so work.
It's just a
this
pleasure
ain't work.
Being able to talk to you every day. We got a couple dark days. I'm going to be on High Noon Monday through Friday this week. You check me out at 4 o'clock on ESPN 1. You can check me out there.
I have some important follow-up questions. David Jacoby.
Yes?
When you're doing High Noon, I noticed some things.
Oh, okay.
You finish sentences.
Yeah.
Your vernacular is mature.
Yup.
You're smiling a lot.
Yeah.
You're wearing a blazer and a collared shirt.
I listen to my co-host.
You have a pen in your hand and you're taking notes.
Yep.
You're doing like you're a different person. Why can't the audience that you've helped build up all of these years get that Jacoby? Why we got to get, you know, the boot camp click, dumbed down, minivan mafia version, scoring 0 points in a rec league game Jacoby? Why we get the B-list Jacoby?
This is the real me. You know me. I'm a trash person. This is the real me. The real me doesn't listen, doesn't prepare that much, scores 0 points in a rec league, dresses down. That's the real me. I put myself together and put on a whole front. I'm David Jacoby when I'm on High Noon. You know what I mean? You're getting the real me. You're
correct.
Getting Jacoby. On High Noon, I'm David Jacoby. You're getting like the real actual me on Jalen and Jacoby. You know?
And here's the most important follow-up question. Does Joey Jacoby actually watch you?
No.
When you're doing High Noon on E1?
No.
Still doesn't watch?
No, she ain't watching. Joey's not watching.
At least Joey's not consistent. Watching. She's
Joey
consistent.
Joey doesn't listen to the podcast.
Her.
Joey's not watching the show. She's not doing any of that. She's not doing any of that.
You remember when Molly used to be listening to our two-hour radio show?
Yeah,
every day. Not gonna say anything on TV. She would never
send notes and stuff, send us text messages, being like, "That was really funny when you did this." And now we got you know, all you gotta do is just DVR the show and zip through it. I don't get any Molly notes anymore. You know what happened? Y'all got married. That's what happened. Y'all got married. That's when she was your girlfriend. When she would listen to her boyfriend's radio show, but she won't watch her husband's television show. You know what? I'm gonna get on her about that. I'm gonna get on Molly about that. Come on, Molls. We got a couple dark days this week. I just want to tell Jalen and Jacoby listeners, I think we got Monday, Thursday this week. We have shows. Whenever we have a dark day, my friends are always like, "Why are you dark?" I'm like, "I don't know. I just look at the schedule. I don't see what's replacing us." They're always like, "Why are you dark?" I'm like, "I don't know. I get the schedule. The schedule says we got a show. We don't have a show. I don't overthink it.
Yeah.
I don't look to see what's going to be on instead of us.
If it was up to us, people know we would take no days off. That's the foundation of this program. The first handful of years, it was Jalen and Jacoby, zero guest. And to be honest with you, I'm leaning closer and closer to going back to that.
Good for you.
I really am, fam. I really
Good
am.
For you.
Well, because when you start building a show that's guest reliant, then it's only based on who you have on the show, not who's actually on the show from the beginning. What do you think about that?
Well, a couple things. Number one, we've discussed this at length on and off wax. Number two, if you think about leaning back going to no guests, how come you're constantly talking to me about guests then? Seems like we're eating lunch together. You talk to me about guests like, I don't know, 70% of the time. And now you're talking about going back to no guests. So which one is it, Jay?
That ain't the only thing I talk about. I talk about topics too. And a couple of things I want to get the fans involved in. Of course, as a SAG eligible participant like myself that votes on the movie awards yearly, just like I vote on the NBA awards, there was something that came to mind as I was watching Netflix the other day, and I mentioned this to you before. It seems like my favorite movies either involve an artist and or a comedian. See, like, all of the things that I continue to watch are things like Paid in Full, Artist, Cam, Purple Rain, Artist, Prince, Comedy, Coming to America, Eddie Murphy. And so what I was thinking we should do is we should create a bracket and allow the people to help support. We ain't got to do it at this second. I'm just planting a seed. Favorite movies that feature artists, and then another one, favorite movies that feature comedians. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's interesting. I think we really got to do the comedian bracket, the king of comedy bracket, with the white conference and the minority conference. I love that idea. Nothing is, you know what came to mind? When you were talking about how you vote on the SAG Awards, you know what came to mind? This dude don't watch white people movies. So how do you vote with a good conscience? So you can vote on the NBA awards. That's fine. Cause I know you study the game, but you don't study the game when it comes to films. I know exactly what you do. I know exactly what you do. You look at the category, you look at the nominees, and you vote for black people. Don't lie. Is that what you do? Don't lie.
So let me tell you what's unique about having me as a SAG voter. And I get stacks and stacks of DVDs. And I can't front. I watch some to different variations of degrees more than others. And usually, my favorites just happen to end up in the category that you described.
Oh,
and
that's
so
interesting.
If this will make everybody feel better, this is how black people have felt about the Grammys and the Oscars forever.
Well, what about this?
So I'm just returning a favor.
No, hold up. I've been to like, I don't know, 9 movies with you, something like that. And let's say those 9 movies we've gone to together, you get a large popcorn, you sit down, you eat the popcorn, and once you're done with the popcorn and you've had your fill, going to sleep every single time, 9 times out of 9. So so when you say you watched them to varying degrees, you've seen the first 5 minutes of every one of those movies, but I bet you didn't make it that far past the first 5 minutes. Like, you didn't even see Parasite. Hey, you didn't even know what Parasite is. You know nothing about Parasite. Hey, which one best picture?
But I look down at my phone, especially around the 1st and the 15th of each month, and I live Parasites texting me for things all of the time. I know what it is. I know what it is. I bet you that.
You know what? I gotta start hitting you up for money, Jay. How come I don't hit you up for money more? I gotta start doing that. I gotta start hitting you up for some bread with some investment opportunities or some sort of tale about this happened or that happened, medical problems. Give you my routing number. Hey, I'm gonna be your assistant with my routing information. I'm gonna do that.
Hey, I need to be one of those people in your life.
I've been a real friend too long.
I'm just trying to balance out the voting process again in the Grammys and the Oscars and the Emmys. We felt like this since the beginning of time. I'm just returning a favor. Shout to Tony Romo. He only been doing his job 2 or 3 years and he got a max deal. Yeah, 2 or 3 years.
He did. They locked him up. Man. They locked him up for a decade. If they keep the NFL rights, they lock him up for a decade. Even if the rights deal isn't 10 years long.
Hey, man.
He's locked in. Hey, he got a $170 million deal.
Hey, man.
Shout out to Tony Romo.
He worked two days a week. One,
come on.
I sometimes wonder what he's like, man.
It worked for 3 hours. Hey, like, we're doing a show every day. I'm not complaining. He works for three hours.
Great cash, homie. And I'm not saying that he isn't really good at what he does.
It's just
funny to me when I hear people, yeah, he's really good at what he does. No, by the way, we showing him love. We don't have to bring him up at all. And so, the funny thing for me is when people feel like you don't deserve something and they try to reason why you shouldn't get it. And it's like, you only get what people are willing to give you. But you have the ability to negotiate. That's just kind of how the game works. And the other thing, yeah, it's a privilege in there. Yeah, you get a max deal after 2 or 3 years. It's a privilege in there.
He's good at what he does. I watch the games.
But he's good at what he does.
A lot of sports fans really care who's calling the game. Like, a lot of sports fans complain about who the analyst is or the play-by-play person. The play-by-play doesn't change my enjoyment of the sport. It really doesn't. But when I watch Tony Romo games, I do notice that he is excellent. And something about Marv Albert's voice, because it's just programmed in me since childhood, like from those big NBA, NBC, this Saturday games, like, I just feels like a big game when Marv is calling it. It just feels big.
And as your brother, and as somebody that, like, tries to be a free thinker and continue to press boundaries of equality and, represent all cultures the best way I can. It's the reason why you see people like me standing on the table. Like, can Dak get his bread? I seen Jimmy G play 7 games to get his money. See Carson Wentz be half injured a couple of years and get his money. Now Tony Romo getting 8 times more money to call a game than Dak getting to play. Only in America. Only in America.
Make sure you call 9580-JALEN, leave us voicemails. Ladies, we need you to leave us voicemails for every Wednesday.
Hey,
so right
ladies.
Now, ladies, call 985-80-JALEN. We're going to be off dark for a couple days. We'll be back on Thursday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. Got to give the people.